For those of you at home, I used my microphone as my penis. Did I ever show you what my man Sona looks like on Instagram?
I think so. It sounds familiar.
I was reminded of it today because I used the filter that just gives you facial hair. Like, it keeps the same shape of your face, which is nice. Mm-hmm. I'm so pretty. I'm like a beautiful man.
But unfortunately, you have a penis that's shaped like a road mic.
Aw, man.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I know a lot about what the doctor wears.
And you're about to learn even more because this is this is part two of Doctor Who Are You Wearing?
Fashion.
Doctor Who, but make it fashion again. Where we're going to look at all of the modern doctors. I had originally been a little apprehensive about showing all of the modern ones.
I already know a lot of the modern ones.
That was a very strong point that you made.
Spoiler alert, Hot Topic spoiled it for me.
I had been kind of like 60-40 on it myself, because on the one hand, I think it would make for a fun episode. It would make for, one, a longer episode than us just doing the three doctors you've seen. So I don't know how it would have shaken out had I decided to stick with that. But also, you know, there are things where, like, I do want to see you respond to them in real time. So there's a part of me that was a little apprehensive about it for that reason.
But I already seen them.
Yeah, but you have, for the most part, really already seen the doctors. I know for a fact that you've seen 9 through 11, and then Disney Plus won't stop showing you 14 and 15.
Nope.
So really the only ones you haven't seen at that point are 12 and 13. And at that point, what's the point of hiding it from you?
Yeah.
I also did put a poll up to our various social medias, up on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Threads. And it was surprisingly very close, but eventually Show Them All won by one vote.
Thank you to that one person.
I mean, really, thank you to all of them.
No, just the one.
I collected the polls from all of our social medias. I asked you, I asked our roommate, and then I included my own vote in there just to see how it shook out. And all those votes shook out totally to be one vote for all the doctors. So today we are going to be looking at doctors 9 through 15.
I didn't
have any other not doctors to show. There was one I tried to get, but I couldn't find a high quality image of it. So we will just stick with the main doctor. So hopefully this episode will be a little bit shorter. I do once again have a Zachy Perfacky, some quotes I thought you might say.
Oof, all right. Let me change up everything I do and say.
become a different person.
Be different.
And let's get going. First up with the 9th Doctor, Christopher Eccleston.
Mm.
He was the Doctor from March 2005 to June 2005.
That's such a small frame. I know why, but
yes. I mean, really, it's
when you mark it like that, mm-hmm. March to June, it really.
Yeah. It really feels like, whoa, it was a really short time.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about his tenure. We're talking about his outfit. Compared to some of his more colorful and eccentric predecessors, the 9th Doctor opted for a more stripped down, traditionally masculine look with a battered, double breasted black leather jacket, an assortment of V-neck jumpers, black trousers, and black leather Doc Marten boots.
Classic.
Right. Just a very leathery man.
Literally, though, like something that I do really like about this outfit is that it is something that is kind of timeless.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, even down to the way that they style Eccleston's hair, which is this very short, almost buzzed, like, you know what era we're in based off of the quality of the photograph.
Yeah, This is very like the photograph is very, you know, mid 2000s. I do like that he's got this. There's a part of it where this feels like a character that was in a war. Like before he even really goes into it, there's a part of it where he's got a very military kind of haircut.
Could you imagine a post-war Baker or Pertwee?
Hello, I'm here to fight.
Like
the war.
There is something about a Colin Baker rather. Because I was like, oh, yeah, Tom Baker, too. But like, truly, I could see somebody who's been through a lot of shit just being like, oh, it's just me, my jacket and my scarf. I got a big old hat to cover my face.
My scarf brings me joy.
My scarf.
Otherwise, I think about my platoon.
My scarf is like a hug all the time. A scarf feels like a security blanket.
My scarf is made from the fabrics of all the of the shirts of my fellow soldiers that died alongside me. Whoa, Tom Baker, you're suddenly real dark.
Are these Nazis? Can we kill Nazis?
Are these Daleks? Can we kill Daleks?
G.I. Robot, but instead it's Doctor Who. Doctor Who Daleks.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the look itself being timeless. There's sort of a joke in that, if you remember in when they go to visit Charles Dickens, the doctor makes a point that if Rose runs out in regular clothes, then she'll cause a riot. But the doctor's idea of dressing for the period is just to change a sweater.
Yeah.
There is a part of it where this just kind of looks like a guy in pretty much any given time period.
Yeah. It reminds me of those pictures. I don't know how authentic they are. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen some of them too, but the like pictures or videos of folk that think that they've caught time travelers in like the 1940s because they whip out something that looks like a phone.
Mm-hmm. Which goes back to his very first episode where there was a guy that thought he had found the doctor throughout history because there's just a bunch of faces of the doctor throughout history.
Yeah.
Specifically Christopher Eccleston's face.
Yeah. But that more or less is the look that all of those guys have, is like somebody who's very, it's discreet.
Mm-hmm.
This is an outfit that does not call attention to itself.
Yeah. And I do think there's also something to, and this obviously
very
isn't
demure, very mindful.
There's also something about, and obviously this isn't like a fashion choice, but Christopher Eccleston just has a very unique face. He's got a very big nose, very big ears. And they keep his haircut real tight, so it really like accentuates all those features. And so
he looks like an Aardman. Yeah. He looks like an Aardman.
So there's a part of it where he looks like a regular guy, but because the actor himself looks so interesting, there's still a part of him that's like engaging.
We're going through time, Rose.
Yeah. So I don't know. I do like it. I like the very simplistic look to it. But yeah, it feels almost out of place compared to every other doctor.
Like the only thing that really ties it back is the selection of other colored V-neck shirts underneath.
Yeah.
Like this green one that you've picked in particular is very similar to the green that is in Tom Baker's scarf. What a specific.
Well,
It's the specificity of that very warm toned olive green.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it does feel like there's something about Eccleston that is just different from the other doctors. And I do think that subtext is the thing that's different is the Time War.
Yeah, like it's trauma.
Yeah. Like every other doctor dressed in a way to bring attention to themselves. Christopher Eccleston does the opposite of that. He dresses to blend in with a crowd. And in doing so, stands out in the crowd amongst other doctors.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is the most human looking doctor.
Yes. With the new season also came a new TARDIS. As I mentioned in our last episode that in the classic series, the TARDIS always looked kind of banged up, old, weathered. But that's because, generally speaking, they were newer things then. I mean, I believe they were fading out by the time the show faded out.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you see a police box, you don't think it's a police box. You think it's a TARDIS.
Yeah.
And so as such, the TARDIS now gets to be brand new, pristine, clean on the outside. However, the inside of his TARDIS is this like burnt orange, copper, bronze nightmare.
It's not a nightmare.
I shouldn't call it a nightmare.
It's very like Vernian.
Yeah, there's a you're right. There's a very like
I hesitate to say steampunk necessarily.
I'm trying to think of what's that. Is it literally called the Time Traveler? Like that old movie where a guy made a time machine that looks like a car. Not Back to the Future.
Fuck, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah. It's because I know I'm specifically thinking of the one where it's this like disc. It looks like if you opened up a compact mirror and there's like a disc that you sit on, and then the disc above that, it has this like giant wheel. Like that's the one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think we're thinking of the same thing.
The Time Machine. H.G. Wells, The Time Machine from 1960.
Yeah, there's definitely that kind of vibe to this TARDIS,
the where future it's future travel floodlight.
Where in addition to it having a very similar color scheme to that like bronze time machine from the H.G. Wells movie, it feels also like this also kind of feels like it was put together by one guy with a blowtorch, you know what I mean?
It also does feel a little bit like what the inside of a Dalek would feel like.
I wonder if that was on purpose. I wonder if they decided to.
If for no other reason, then it still holds true to the other other TARDISes by having those little windows.
Roundels.
Yeah. Is that the actual like terminology for it?
As far as I'm aware, fans call them roundels. I believe the only thing they've ever been referred to in the show is as the round things. So I will be calling them roundels. I am
absolutely not surprised that the doctor refers to them as roundels, but the big fucking nerds that is the entirety of the universe refers to them as roundels. Roundels.
Yeah, it's
gross. Yeah. But yeah, I do like that this one still has the roundels. Mm-hmm. I forget that the grating on this one, like the steps up to the control panel, is literally like metal grate, like you would find at a factory or in a warehouse.
Yeah. And then sometimes he would he or David Tennant would slide under it to like work on it.
Oh, I remember David Tennant.
Yeah.
Fucking around with having the T falling through. And I remember that quite specifically, actually.
You'll die mad. That'll be the quote on your tombstone. The fucking tea and nothing else. I also really like the neon green that's coming out of the center console.
Oh, it's absolutely atrocious. I love it.
Yeah, that really sells that this is an alien thing. Like nothing naturally glows like that, except for radioactivity, I suppose.
It's also the fact that even the spindly bits coming out of the walls, they are not straight. Mm-hmm. They are at a curve. Yeah. And it is not a single bar that is coming out at a curve. It's almost tree-like in a way.
Yeah.
Or like a wishbone. Like there is still something very organic about that shape.
Mm-hmm. Well, they even say at one point that TARDISes aren't built, they're grown.
So she chose to have metal warehouse grating as her steps.
I like to think of
what is wrong with you, girl.
I like to think of a TARDIS as like the exact midpoint between science, nature, and magic. Like if you were to put all
that might be the geekiest thing you've ever said.
Well, I don't mean magic. I like to think like,
about the TARDIS as the exact midpoint between science, nature, and magic.
I mean, like design. I mean, design wise and but lore wise, that's sort of what it feels like. It sort of feels like it as a plant, it looks like a machine. But the thing it does is neither
science. I wouldn't say magic because that feels very illusory, like mysticism almost.
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
spirituality.
Yeah, I mean magic. I guess that's sort of what I mean. I mean magic in like a wizard sense, not in like a oh, the magic of the world.
Well, because when I think magic, I think close up, like now you see me, now you don't.
Yeah, no, I mean magic more like D&D, like spells and shit.
Do you like that? My thought for magic is Harry Houdini.
You mean the doctor's friend, Harry Houdini?
Shut up. There's going to be an episode someday. There has to be, please. For me. Do it for me.
Yeah, the only real complaint I have about this TARDIS is that it doesn't feel like there's anything else in the TARDIS.
Oh, she's naked as sin.
Yeah, and not even. And not
it
even,
feels like a going out of business sale.
Yeah. Well, there's also. Well, what I mean also by that is if you remember the classic TARDISes.
Yeah, with the chair.
Yeah,
I remember the chair.
Not even the chair. I mean, it felt like there was a door to the right hand side. It does not feel like there's anything beyond this room.
It doesn't. Yeah, there. It doesn't even seem to be that there's any entrance.
Yeah, it doesn't. Like, I know we at one point see the closet. We know that Rose sleeps somewhere. And obviously the doctor would have to sleep somewhere. But we never
does
really.
Does the doctor sleep? I thought he was like an elf and he could just.
Well, we
meditate
know
for four
we
hours.
We know he sleeps because they had dreams because it was him all along in the dream.
Shut up. I blocked that from my memory.
Yeah, it's one of those where I kind of miss that feeling like it feels like this is the TARDIS, whereas in the previous stuff, it felt like you were in the main room for the TARDIS, but the TARDIS itself is a big, elaborate
place. I feel like the TARDIS has a proclivity to a spiral staircase. I know that it would be difficult for them to showcase that, but like in my head, I always imagined underneath the control panel is a like spiral staircase that takes you to the rest of the TARDIS. And I don't even get that kind of impression here. I don't know where any other room would be.
Yeah. That's the thing is that that's the only real thing, only real like niggling point I have with
Whoa.
This TARDIS design is that.
What was that word?
Niggling.
That can't be real.
Yeah.
Niggling.
Yeah.
And you chose to use it.
Yeah. To niggle. Cause slight but persistent annoyance.
Zach, you gotta stop using the N word. We're gonna have.
That's not the N word.
Yeah, it's not far.
It's far enough.
Mm.
Anyway.
Head scratchy. Annoying. There's other words that you can use.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, that's my one like real hang up with this TARDIS is that I really wish there was even just the feeling that there was a door over there. They didn't design
it. Like if one of the panels like could be moved off of the wall.
Yeah. Or even if like because they have the grating here, if there was some sort of like other pathway off, like we'll see this when we get to 11's TARDIS, but there are like stairs that go places.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we never see what's beyond those stairs, we get the sense that there's something there.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason for there to be stairs there otherwise. This is just a big room with a thing in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But then we also get the new Sonic screwdriver, the new Who Sonic screwdriver.
I don't get it.
Combining elements of his TARDIS console room with spark plugs, the ninth Doctor Sonic screwdriver is the first one designed to be pointed outward with a blue crystal diode on the end that glowed whenever in use. How do you think about this, about the ninth Doctor Sonic screwdriver?
Like a small lightsaber.
Yeah, I would say that there is something very, very lightsabery to it.
It feels way more tactile in a way that like even lightsabers themselves are. Sorry, died there momentarily. Because those are weapons that are built. Their pieces are selected and they're assembled by their master. And this feels very much the same way where it is. Yes, there are still shiny bits, but there's that one, you know, kind of scrungly bit in the middle that looks way more weathered with the little copper piece. And like this just looks like it was crafted. It still feels manufactured.
Yeah.
Which is kind of upsetting, but this one feels the most authentic to here's an item that I've built for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it also very clearly is something that is easily duplicated.
Well, it's also, if you remember the story where we meet Jack Harkness, Jack even mentions that Sonic devices are made in a factory. So there is a part of it where it probably should feel at least a little factory made, but maybe it's a factory made that he's like fucked with a little bit. And that's why he needed to like replace probably a smoother dial with a piece of copper to be, to be the dial. I do like that it extends. I think that's really just like a fun physical thing that lets the actors play with it.
Mm-hmm.
That the previous Sonic screwdrivers couldn't do. They were just sticks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might have spun, but they weren't, you know, they weren't physically like you can push a thing forward. I also like that these glow. The classic ones didn't, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe I'm biased because I was introduced to the new show.
Well, yeah, but glowing makes me feel like it's doing something.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like there's, you can also like hold it out and not use it then in that case. Like, you know, when it's being used and when it's not by the fact that it's glowing. I didn't know about the spark plug thing when I first was writing this up. And then I looked it up and sure enough, the designer wanted it to feel a little like it was married to the idea of a spark plug in a car. And so I do really like that. It does. There is sort of a I don't know how to describe that it feels like that, but it does feel like that. Now we move on to the 10th Doctor, David Tennant.
Hey,
the 10th Doctor maintained an air of what I call adventurous professionalism with a clean but rumpled pinstripe suit. Underneath, he wore a spectrum of dress shirts, collar unbuttoned, usually with a loose tie. He also regularly sported a pair of Converse trainers and frequented a light brown duster overcoat. What do you think about the 10th Doctor's look, Cassie? Especially the brown. I think the brown suit is certainly the more iconic of the two that he wears.
I like it.
Yeah, I particularly like the coat. Like, I know.
Oh, we all know my feelings towards a big old overcoat.
Yeah, he does. He loses the coat a lot and just goes suit. But I do think you lose something from his silhouette shed the coat.
There is something about a person wearing a coat that makes me believe they have the situation under control.
Which I wonder is why all the doctors wear coats.
Maybe. Well, because like I think specifically like piss poor example, but like Captain Hook.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is something about like the second that Captain Hook takes off the red jacket, you're like, uh-oh, he's falling apart. But when he puts it on, it's like, all right, this means business.
Well, so I was gonna say he's probably the only pirate that wears that kind of fancy dress.
Well, because wouldn't you want to look nice while you're killing a small boy?
It's pretty good.
I know I like to look my best when I'm about to murder.
I also quite like this outfit. I also think the overcoat adds something.
Well,
mainly because David Tennant is such a skinny man.
What? No.
Just a two-dimensional figure.
No.
He needs the coat to like fill him out and like not even it doesn't even necessarily make him intimidating.
It adds presence,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it does add presence. I think it doesn't make him intimidating, but especially when you've got such a slender man, when he makes a dramatic turn, you hear the of the coat behind him.
There was one time I was seeing a production of Peter and the Starcatcher, and the coat that they had put Hook in did make this beautiful, like, every time he would, like, spin around. Mm-hmm. And I was so thirsty for the coat. For the coat. I love a red jacket. I'm upset that this one isn't. But there is also something to be said of, like, layers in an outfit can look very, like, meticulous and well thought out or messy. Yeah. And I think the Doctor is a perfect person to look at that because somebody like Tom Baker, the layers make the Doctor look a little messy and a little haphazard. But on Tennant, the buttoned up suit, coat, tie, button up shirt, and then the overcoat has an air of, this man means business.
Yeah, like that's why I called it adventurous professionalism.
Yeah,
like it seems like he's shown up for a day at the office of adventure.
It looks like he should be doing the paperwork for Indiana Jones. God, could you imagine, like if Harrison Ford also chose to wear not the leather bomber jacket, but like a full on like to the ground jacket at any point? Han Solo in a floor length coat. Oh,
just I do feel like Indiana Jones probably would not have made a lot of those dives under closing doors if he had a big flowing coat.
Oh, my God. He effectively has a tail. Then exactly he gets right. Stuck everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to also talk about the fact that he does have another suit?
Yes.
In addition to the brown one with white stripes, he has a blue one with red stripes.
I like the brown one better.
I also like the brown one better. I think it works better for Tennant's. I don't know if skin tone is the right term.
Well, just like color analysis, like I'm not very good at it, but I have such an aversion to blue suits.
Uh-huh. I do like that in the blue suit, the pinstripes are red. I do think that's an interesting.
That's evil.
I do feel like there's something about, I don't know how to describe it, because there's nothing to really back this with. Like you've seen 10 doctor outfits, so 10 doctors and their outfits so far. And this isn't really present in really any of them. But for some reason, if I were to describe the doctor as a color, the color would be purple.
What?
Exactly. There's no, like, if I were to condense someone down from like their full, essence and try to describe that essence as a color, the doctor feels like they'd be the color purple.
What color am I?
I feel like you're...
I haven't a color.
No, you're like a very warm pink.
Ladies and gentlemen, what Zach is describing is that he can see auras. It's a skill he didn't know he had.
Because I'm describing that. And so when I describe the totality of the doctor, even though they don't wear a lot of purple in them. When you get to David Tennant, I feel like you can pair purple with the brown suit, but because the blue suit is blue with red, you can't really pair purple with that because it feels like it's just all the same. There's no contrast to it.
My thing is, and it could also be a little bit of bias because I also have brown hair. Mm-hmm. The brown suit matches nicer with his hair. And there's just something about the like brown and white, or brown suit, white pinstripes, white pinup shirt, red tie with a little filigree and fun things on it. Whereas the blue suit is paired with the red tie and then like a lighter blue shirt.
I will say his undershirts changed quite frequently.
I know that. But in this particular, in these photographs that we're looking at, I prefer the brown.
I agree. I also prefer the brown suit. I don't know if any of what I said a second ago makes any sense to anybody. Hopefully it does. It's
like I said, I think you can pick up on ours, dude. Like, I know
you and I have been together 7.5 years.
I know you don't subscribe to the like crunchy sort of like hippy dippy stuff, but you might have a gift, man.
You and I have been together for 7.5 years and you just find out I have a superpower.
Yeah. You see me as pink? Aw.
I
hate pink. It's a lie. I love it.
You had brought up David Tennant's hair.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting that his hair is always this like gelled up front tip look.
Very cockatoo.
Yeah, very much like a cockatoo. I also thought it was very funny when Eccleston regenerates into Tennant. For some reason, the regeneration gives him gelled hair.
Yeah.
That to me is always funny. I don't know how many times I've seen that regeneration, but it's funny to me every time. This doctor did keep generally the same silhouette across all three seasons, but his accessories would often change color palette. Mm-hmm. He had three different pairs of Converse. He had a red pair, a white pair, and a black pair. Mm-hmm. He also had a bunch of ties. There's a website dedicated to people who want to buy replicas of the 10th Doctor's ties. I think he had something like a dozen.
Okay.
He also occasionally...
That ain't no cat pin, though.
That ain't no cat pin, no. He did whip out a pair of glasses, usually his brainy specs. But at one point, he darkened those into sunglasses. And he also had a set of blue-red 3D glasses.
Yeah. I like that for all of the glasses, the silhouette is more of a square, rectangular shape.
I think it's good because David Tennant, despite being mostly made of lines, he does have kind of a round head. So I do think that giving him the squared off glasses balances his face out.
Yeah.
It's certainly a more complimentary look than the Fifth Doctor's half moon glasses that made him look like a librarian.
Yeah.
His TARDIS and his sonic screwdriver were the same as Christopher Eccleston. So we're off to Matt Smith, the 11th Doctor, our current Doctor that we're watching.
Okay.
And also my favorite Doctor. The 11th Doctor's look is very reminiscent of the 2nd Doctor's absent-minded professor motif. Mm-hmm. His most famous look consists of a brown tweed blazer, a dress shirt with burgundy suspenders, midnight blue trousers, dark boots, and most famously, a bow tie. Mm-hmm. He does wear two different brown coats. He wears this one we're seeing here, which is from the season we're about to start, the 7th season. But in the first season, his jacket has little elbow patches.
Yes, I'm familiar with the elbow patches.
Yeah, I don't know which one I prefer of those two, the elbow patches or the non.
The elbow patches, I was a hater for so long. Specifically, so this is the doctor that the costume department really liked. Stay with me.
Okay.
So in college, there were, so I was undergrad. We had a, like three or four graduate students that were there that would specifically, like they had their own stuff that they were working on, but they would also design the shows. Two of the three were absolutely like enamored by and like in love with Doctor Who. And so one of them in particular would ever so subtly dress and wear things that were very Whovian. And that is to say, like, she did on occasion wear like a little sundress that looked like a TARDIS. Mm-hmm. Like, so cute. Like, of course, like. But like when it would start to get a little bit colder in California, it doesn't get that cold, but she would wear jacket with elbow pads and a scarf that was reminiscent of Tom Baker's scarf. And mm-hmm. I always remember when I saw the dress, I knew for sure, like, oh, that's the TARDIS. But whenever I saw just the scarf disattached from what I know now and the elbow pads on the jacket, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, it's so like, so dorky, stupid. But then one day I got a hole in one of my shirt's elbows and I went, you know what would fix this? I get it now. It usually takes me to have lived through the circumstance to go, I get it.
Yeah, I do think that, especially for his first season, the elbow patches did give the suit a more like secondhand vibe.
It feels lived in. It's also elbow patches, overcoats. There's something about it that feels academic in a way that demands respect.
Yeah, that's, I do say that he's got that sort of absent-minded professor look to him. It feels more professional when he loses the elbow patches. But in some ways, that doesn't feel like the 11th Doctor. Professionalism does not feel like his vibe.
Well, because you say absent-minded just because there is a lot of mixing of patterns.
Yes.
But the colors all still go together. So there is still a sense of, like, there is a through line or, like, there's a theme.
Mm-hmm.
I just continue on. I have to go see if one of my jackets is similar to this.
Okay. Go check it.
Yeah, it's the me looking at this and going, damn, I think I have a jacket like this. And then the thought congealing to, fuck, I think I have a jacket like this. Now me saying,
I wonder how much of this the mic is picking up.
To now me saying, I need to get the jacket I have like this and get it out. Anyways, what were we saying?
Yeah, yours is very similar, but it has rhinestones on the across the front of
mine
it.
Mine is better.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this look. It's very simple, but it's also very unique in a way. Like I could definitely see someone in the wild just wearing this, but it's not the way you dress most characters. If that makes sense. Like
I don't know what you're talking about. I wear this all the time.
This was the outfit that I had wanted to hold back from that. I was like, I wanted you to see in real time. This is the Doctor's other. This is Matt Smith's other outfit. As I've dubbed it here on the slide, purple is cool.
Is this why you said the Doctor is purple?
I mean, this isn't why, because
do you think there's a subconscious?
Well, that's the weird thing is I don't really think of this as being Matt Smith's outfit. I think of this being Matt Smith's outfit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know why I think that. But I will say that this is the rare outfit that is definitely purple. And there was a part of me that wanted you to see it when it happened and get your reaction then.
Well, because you would have gotten the same reaction that you just got from me now, which was simply a...
Midway through his third season, Eleven dons a brand new look featuring an eggplant purple cashmere frock coat with corduroy collar and violet bow tie. This look came with a few different waistcoats, black pants, and leather boots.
Superb. perfect look. No notes.
Eggplant purple cashmere frock coat.
Brown boots and black pants. The brown boots go with his like beautifully side-swept brown hair.
Do you see the little black velvet waistcoat?
Oh, I'm seeing it, Zach, with the cute little gold chain. Are you fucking kidding me?
I had a feeling you were really going to like this look.
Of course, because this is the... If I was a man... Hell, this is, I would wear this now. If I was really hellbent on picking up chicks.
If you had the money to
I dress like this now, people point and laugh at me and they say, look at this little wannabe. If I had a penis and I was really trying to demand attention in a room.
And you were made of noodles at, like Matt Smith is.
My God, if I was 7 feet tall.
Yeah, I do really like this outfit. It only really lasts for like. Not even half a season.
Oh, such a shame. This is my favorite outfit so far.
Yeah. Is that including the classic looks?
No.
No?
So far as in like right now. No. Favorite outfit has to be Colin Baker's coat.
Okay.
Because it is a beautifully constructed garment. And that is the only justification I have for that.
I mean, other I would than, say this. The I do think this than, purple coat is a very beautifully constructed garment too.
Yeah, but it does look... does not have the same care put into it as the like quilted Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat Doctor Who wiki wacky wild coat.
Yeah, this
is still beautiful. I will find each and every item.
This separate. Will be your next cosplay, your next Doctor cosplay.
This will just be because you know why I like it. I just realized it. It's a little Willy Wonka.
It is a little Willy Wonka. You are not incorrect on that.
Because I'm also thinking like, yeah, because Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka outfit is one of my favorite things in all cinema. Because it has like the big or that one is like a ditzy, like pink bow tie, the purple coat, mm-hmm. beige pants, and then a floral printed waistcoat.
Yeah, the
brown boots.
Specifically the pairing of the eggplant coat with the violet bow tie. Like they're both purple, but they're very different shades of purple.
As somebody with brown hair, it is my favorite thing to put somebody in brown boots because then you're balanced from the top and the bottom. So you can kind of do whatever you want in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yeah, it's a good look.
We got to get you some dirty blonde shoes, bud. It's all about balance, baby.
He also like accessories. While the bow tie is Eleven's most famous accessory, he also had a few other noteworthy additions, including a fez, a Stetson, and brainy specs of his own.
Yeah, and then you specifically bought the fez.
Yeah, I didn't buy the fez. That was just that's Charlie or Haley's. It's just in the house. I think it's Haley's.
I think it's also Haley's.
It's just in the house. But yeah, I do enjoy wearing the fez whenever I'm feeling a particularly doctory. I think I said this in the episode, but Stephen Moffat specifically wrote a part in the script where Matt Smith gets a fez. Somebody went, you can't give Matt Smith a fez. He'll never take it off. And Moffat went, that's why almost immediately I have someone blow it up.
Does he find another fez later on?
I mean, they blew that fez up, so you'll have to find out. His glasses are interesting. So I don't think we've ever gotten to the episode where he gets his glasses yet, but those are actually Amy Pond's glasses that he reuses to read.
I don't think we have gotten to that.
Yeah, I do. I like that they suit him. And in much the same way that, you know, David Tennant's glasses were square, Matt Smith's are round because Matt Smith is made of blocks.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little Jenga-y.
Yeah. I do like them. I like that he enjoys an accessory. I do like that he enjoys Stetsons.
I really do love the you give Matt Smith a fez and he will never take it off.
But Matt Smith's doctor also really enjoyed dressing up for all occasions. He had a couple of other looks he had of honors for, including a white tie look that he brought to Amy and Rory's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a couple shorts that he wears it in. And then he has this velvet clad look for Christmas.
Love
it. But in either case, he's wearing a top hat.
I love it. I love the velvet look as well. This the like, brown balancing the brown.
This like young Scrooge look.
Yes. Also very Wonka.
Yeah, this I think is the most Wonka of any outfits we've seen. I think his like
also very Pertwee.
Yeah, I definitely think so. But then we get to his TARDIS. His first one, I really remember it being very orange. with all the lights on, it's certainly very orange. I don't think it's usually lit with all the lights on, so it doesn't always look that orange. But that I do what I if I think of this TARDIS, I think of the color orange. This is the first fully enclosed set for a TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, even in the classic series that we saw before, was a 3/4 set. So the camera could like just shoot through an open wall. This is the first one where the camera can be anywhere and there will be TARDIS behind it.
Nice.
Even details that I don't always notice, like if you look here in the full picture, we usually see the TARDIS the way it is here on the right with the camera facing where the door's on the left.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, we often miss that they have a staircase set to the left of the door that we just don't see a lot. But this is also what I was talking about when I said I really wish 9 and 10's TARDIS felt like there was more to it.
Yeah.
This feels like it goes so many directions.
This feels like a labyrinth.
Yeah, there are, by my count, 5 staircases here. Like, it goes so many places.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I love that there is also a mix of, like, texture as well, because you have the shiny reflective quality of the glass, but you have the, like, chrome as well. That's also the light can bounce off of, but it's not high gloss like the glasses. But then you have the walls that feel like the walls feel more matte, bizarrely enough.
Mm-hmm.
But and like, I like that there is this play on texture, and the control panel itself has more found items, very like Tinkerbell fairy-esque.
Yeah.
Again, this doctor is very fairy tale.
I do like the teal, the use of the teal lighting that comes into to contrast.
Like, greeny teal against the like warm orange.
Yeah, and I like that they kept that vibe of there's a space under it where they do work, but they've made it feel different by giving it glass instead of metal grating.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure also was nice for the sound guys to not have to worry about the people stepping on metal grating anymore.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of this TARDIS. This might be my second or third favorite TARDIS behind the Eighth Doctor's.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one's still just, but I love the lighting in here. I love the design. I love this. I think it's great.
Of the modern Who, I think this one so far has been my favorite.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing how you think about the other ones, though, because some other ones take very hard swings in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious about what you think about those, such as Matt Smith's second design, which is like more purpley, colder atmosphere.
No.
This is about the same time he switched into the purple suit.
No.
He changed.
Purple suit, so cool. Purple TARDIS, no.
Yeah, it's a colder and more purple atmosphere.
It feels like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. set.
I could see that. I do like these additional panels they've added outside the center console. It just makes the TARDIS feel like more of a machine than just like a computer. It feels like more of a ship now. I also like the Gallifreyan symbols that are on the ring. I think that's really neat. But yeah, I miss the stairs for one.
I like that there is still some stairs.
Yeah, I
and there's like indication of stairs elsewhere. But
yeah, there are still stairs, but they're not stairs to everywhere like they were in the last one. This one feels a little more uniform. Without giving too much away, it is sort of narratively appropriate for it to look this way. I get it. I'm not going into spoilers. So there's a narrative reason it looks this way. And I think it's appropriate for that. But in terms of like the grand scheme of TARDISes, I do much prefer the orangey fey energy of the previous version.
Well, because the previous one still has those roundels and it still feels like it's rooted in 9 and 10's TARDIS. Like,
yeah.
It feels more natural that it would generate into that. I don't know what happens to make her decide to look like this. But this feels artificial in a way that doesn't sing true with what it has looked like in the past.
Yeah, I could totally understand that. I do think that Without getting too far ahead of us, I'm curious what you think about 12s, because 12 keeps a lot of the same design, but they do different things with it.
Well, because I do appreciate the fact that, yes, this one is still this is a much cooler toned,
mm-hmm.
but there are still those little round orange lights that line the walls, no, there are no roundels, but there is that like honeycomb shape. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't feel like it's grown mm-hmm. in the same way as the as past ones.
Yeah, this is the most mechanical feeling TARDIS I think we've had since the classic series.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it.
Like it, this feels like what the first TARDIS wanted to look like.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. I think that's a very, very excellent way of putting it. So one thing that the new TARDISes do that the like classic TARDISes didn't do that I do kind of like.
Is the camera is way the hell up in the sky?
No, that the center console goes all the way to the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Because before, and partly because this way you can move it much easier, it would just be like a stand where it would go up and down, but it was just floating like in the middle.
Yeah, it was like a table effectively.
Yeah, it was a table effectively. But this one goes all the way to the ceiling. And so there's parts of it where it just feels like a more cohesive whole because of that. It doesn't feel like set deck. It feels like the TARDIS in a way that I just don't think the classic show had the budget for.
I don't think they had the budget or the imagination for.
I wouldn't say the I'm sure somebody had the imagination for it, but I don't think they had the means.
Well, because I think that's why I've always associated with the TARDIS with having some kind of spiral staircase or something underneath is that there is something to be said of like the TARDIS is the core.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's very centered. Yeah, that it's not expansive. It doesn't sprawl. It's very much.
And then we go on to 11 Sonic Screwdriver, a gift from the TARDIS after the last one blew up in his hand. 11 Screwdriver features copper plating, a green crystalline diode, and extendable claws. I love this Sonic Screwdriver. It is my favorite. It's big. It's shiny. There's weight to it. It doesn't, but it's not doing too much.
I love a copper moment. I will never, ever decline a copper moment.
You were describing or, you know, dancing near the idea that 9 and 10 had a pseudo steampunk TARDIS.
Yeah.
This feels like a steampunk Sonic Screwdriver.
Yeah.
Like it just needs some gears strapped to it, really.
Like, yeah. The only parts that I'm a little like meh about is the like black and white elements.
Yeah.
If for no other reason than the black element does look like something that you would get off of a corporate gift pen. Gee, I will never, ever be mad at shiny copper.
Mm-hmm. My only hang up with it is that it feels this is supposed to be from the TARDIS. Like this was a Sonic Screwdriver designed by the TARDIS for the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really feel like his TARDIS, though, if that makes sense.
No,
like this, like it definitely feels like the it definitely feels like the 11th Doctor, but it doesn't necessarily feel like the 11th Doctor's TARDIS. And so no. It's a very I don't know how to describe that otherwise. I think it's that I almost want the light coming off of it to be orange or teal, but instead it's definitively green.
Yeah,
I don't know. But otherwise, I do love this, though. I think it's a great design. I think it's fantastic. I love the little like claw feature. There's something about that that's very like dynamic and fun.
Well, yeah, because you were actively playing with it the other day.
Yeah, it's my favorite screwdriver. Don't make fun of me. Now we move on to the 12th Doctor, Peter Capaldi. Maybe one of the two Doctors you haven't really seen yet. At one point in his run, he says that he describes his look as making him look like, a, quote, a magician.
Yeah.
The 12th Doctor's first look included a navy blue covert coat with crimson lining and a matching cardigan, black or midnight blue trousers, and black brogue shoes. He also claims to wear ? Underpants, though we never see them on screen.
So, wait. Does this mean that no Doctor has ever worn underwear?
It just means that this is the first Doctor to announce that they wear underwear. I'm certain there's times where we've seen other Doctors' underwear. See, my question is, do they all wear the same underwear?
Well, because I'm wondering, too, like, underwear as in tighty-whities or boxers?
You'll never know. Because he just describes them as underpants.
This is going to bother me now. Because now I have it living in the back of my head. Does
now
the
you'll,
Doctor
you'll,
wear underwear?
You'll notice that in this slide, I've described this as the 12th Doctor's first look.
Yeah.
I do think that if someone were to tell you what does the 12th Doctor look like, they would say this, partly because when Capaldi was announced, this is the outfit they revealed in like a big spread photo shoot.
Yeah.
But I also
I hate the top button being buttoned. I hate that so much.
Well, I have good news for you.
Good.
Because the 12th Doctor, I don't actually know if he ever wears the same outfit twice.
Incredible.
Like, when we get to the 12th Doctor, we genuinely might just have to do a segment where you talk about his outfit every episode.
Okay.
Because he's got at least four different coats alone.
Fantastic. This feels more like true or like authentic to, was it number one or two?
Number one was the one that liked dressing like different humans. If anything, I feel like he's most like three, but just from the variety of outfits that he has.
Yeah.
Especially, and also because some of his, two of his coats, you could see the red one here and the blue one in the third picture are velvet.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a velvet coat. He's got the blue covert coat I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a black one. He's got a blue velvet one, and he's got this, I don't even know what you call that one. It's like a, I think they called it a phantom coat. I think I might have heard it called.
It. What is that?
Well, so while the last several incarnations, and I do mean several, I mean, I think everyone from 4 to 11 have at least like a silhouette.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is still a silhouette.
Well, that's the thing.
At least these photos you're showing me.
That's the thing. If you'll notice as well, not even his hairstyle stayed the same from season to season.
Good.
This first, like, let's go back to this first picture again. He's got this really tight cut, like, against his scalp. And then you see this 12th picture here, and his hair is all, he looks like Einstein by the end of it.
Looks like you, bud.
And he just look a little bit like an old Scottish me. And I do mean that he's got a lot of outfits, because there's even more.
Yeah, but I know you said that there is not a single silhouette. There is.
Okay, how would you describe the silhouette?
So it is still like the tighter fitting, like a straight leg, like more of a tapered leg pant,
mm-hmm.
with a jacket that goes down below his bum.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like in the second photo, it's a hoodie that is underneath the jacket, but that is still serving the purpose of like a vest. So it is still a layered look, and it is still a longer coat with the tapered leg pant and boots. Some are more casual, like these four images specifically are more casual than the others. Mm-hmm. The others are a bit more formal,
mm-hmm.
if for no other reason than two of those coats are made out of velvet. I love sporting a casual velvet moment, but
yeah. He's also the only Doctor I've ever seen that probably could pull off a hoodie. Like, he's there's something about like his aesthetic. He's got a very like almost punk rock kind of vibe to him.
He reminds me of like a friend of my dad's. And that's just like a generalization for those of you listening at home. My dad was in a rock band for many years.
Yeah.
And so he definitely looks like somebody that would be like, like, oh, hey, this is my buddy, whatever.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that in that same vein, I don't think I included it here in the slideshow, but the 12th Doctor does play guitar.
Yeah, he's just got a vibe about him. He just looks like one of those music guys.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, and there's, it's just a lot of energy. Like, there's a part of me, like, I appreciate that there was a Doctor that just did not do a look.
This Doctor definitely has ADHD. Like, Tennant has autism. This Doctor is ADHD.
Yeah, so when we get to his seasons, we might just need to do a let's talk about his outfit to this episode.
Well, yeah, because, like, I don't know how else you want me to describe the, like, silhouette. But yeah. There is a commonality between every image that you've shown.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of long coats.
And it could also be, like, that's just how you dress a taller man.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of long coats and a lot of layers. And I do see what you're saying now about the tail, about the cut of the pants specifically.
Mm-hmm.
That always matches.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just because there's just so much variety. And, like, sometimes the undershirt is a cardigan. Sometimes the undershirt is a hoodie. Sometimes it's just a T-shirt. Sometimes it's a dress shirt.
Well, because the hoodie isn't serving the purpose of the undershirt. Like, the hoodie in this case is serving the purpose of a waistcoat.
Yeah. Yeah,
because it's not zipped all the way up. It's only zipped like a third of the way.
Yeah. So he definitely sports a lot of looks.
We love a layering queen.
Yeah. Like I said, the only Doctor I've ever known that can pull off a hoodie and nobody complains about it.
No.
Let's move on to his TARDIS.
That also is just because Peter Capaldi just looks cool.
You know, you're not wrong. Peter Capaldi does just sort of look like, he looks like your favorite teacher.
He just looks like a cool, like, I want to just, if he was somebody that would come into the cafe, he is the type that I would just like stop what I'm doing and just yap, even though I'm like, oh, I'm falling behind. But like, I want to talk to this guy. He seems cool.
Let's move on to the 12th Doctor's TARDIS. It is, in essence, the same design as 11's second TARDIS, but they make enough changes to it that I think it warrants its own examination. For one thing, the center console is now lit in orange.
This one has more lights, just overall.
Yeah, there are lights alongside the banister. There's also, I don't know if you could see in this picture here on the left.
But are those books?
There are bookshelves up there.
He's got his own little free libraries all throughout the TARDIS.
When I described him as the coolest teacher, there is that sort of vibe because he keeps books. There's a TV up there. There's a chalkboard that rolls around up there sometimes.
Incredible.
There's a very strong like your favorite college professor vibe to him. And there's a part of it where even though it's the same design, because they've added things and they've lit it differently, I like this design way more.
This feels more akin to the TARDISes of old.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, I do agree.
If for no other reason, then there's way more orange in this.
Yes.
And orange slash like brass copper. Even that like oxidized copper of that like tealy sort of green. Mm-hmm. At least in my head has become so synonymous with the TARDIS.
Yeah.
That taking it away and just having it be this like cool blue, purple, violet, like, no, I don't like that. The inside of the TARDIS should be as different from the outside, and the outside is always blue. So it only makes sense to make the inside like orange.
Yeah. I do also like that because it's this orange light in the center, but there's still white blue lights framing the banister around.
Yeah.
You do get really nice dramatic lighting just naturally from it. Like you get here on the second picture of Capaldi.
Yeah.
Like he's got the nice orange light on his face, but then he's backlit by the white lights. I think it's a very well designed place.
I miss the ramshackled nature of the control panel.
Yeah, this one doesn't feel like it's made of found objects.
Like, this one feels way less fey.
Yeah.
But the addition of the books up at the top, like, second
floor,
I guess. I was going to say gantry, but that's not correct.
Banister.
Yeah.
In his loft.
In his, thank you. Like, the addition of the books in the loft, like, does make it seem way more personal.
Yeah. This Doctor also gets multiple sonics. He starts off using the same screwdriver as 11. Mm-hmm. But eventually he swaps those out for a pair of sonic sunglasses.
Stupid.
So Stephen Moffat
gets his own meta shade.
Stephen Moffat basically wrote those to take the piss out of people that were being purists about Doctor Who. Like there was a part of it where it was just like people wanted Doctor Who to be a certain thing. And for better or worse, like I there's a part of me that dislikes it. There's a part of me that thinks it's to his credit. Stephen Moffat went, no, fuck you. He wears sunglasses now. And they're sonic. But eventually he does.
They're spy shades.
But eventually he does get a sonic screwdriver of his own. I'm not a fan of his.
I don't like it.
I don't like either of his. I don't like the sonic. I don't like the sunglasses. I don't like his screwdriver.
The screwdriver looks like it was manufactured by Nerf.
I do think this picture is of the toy version.
I don't care.
But even then, it's just like, I don't like.
It's too much blue.
It's too much blue. I don't like the shape. Like the shape
feels unnecessary. I don't know which end is which.
The shape of it feels like it's a transformer.
This shape, if I saw it in a particular store, I'd go, this is wanting to do too much.
Yeah, it's trying too hard.
Yeah, in a particular store. You know what kind of store I'm talking about, yeah?
I think I do, Cassie. Yes, I think I do. I don't know if we can talk about those stores.
Well, no, that's why I'm saying a particular store. And if you're a gross pervert, Oh, you'll know what kind of store.
And you'll get another, we get yet another Capaldi look here with this, with this jacket, orange shirt.
Oh, yeah. No, Capaldi look great. Hair wild. We love it.
Yeah, his hair gets longer every season.
Excellent. He went haircuts. Who is she?
And then we move on to the 13th Doctor.
Hooray! My least favorite look.
Our first female doctor. Taking her, she was played by Jodie Whittaker. Taking her clothes from a charity shop, 13 wore a hooded lilac trench coat with midnight blue interim, a variety of t-shirts with rainbow stripes across them, a pair of high-waisted teal culottes held up by mustard yellow or midnight blue suspenders, and brown boots.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's your least favorite look, mainly because you dislike blue. And it's just a lot of blue.
Here's where you're wrong. I do like this particular shade of blue because it's more of a teal.
Okay.
It's the putting her in this long coat and having the pants stop exactly where the coat does. It does some, and with the being held up with these like bright yellow suspenders, looks a little clowny.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like it's, there's something about the cropped, and I'm going to take the piss out of myself right now. I love a rolled up cuffed pant because I like looking like a little clown boy. But it feels odd when other people do it. And like if the jacket went down to the ground, perhaps if it was a she's wearing these pants, but the socks are pulled all the way up. There's just something about that break where you can see the skin of her leg.
That exposed bit of calf.
It is just enough to make me go, this looks a little silly.
To my memory, I don't remember them always being rolled up like that. So I don't know if they keep it that way. That's definitely the way it is in the promotional shot.
Yeah. And I don't know, just the horizontal stripy shirt. Again, I like looking like a little boy. But that's the thing, is that when you start pulling in all of these elements of the rolled up pant, the stripy shirt, the suspenders, these are all things that you put in little boys, that it feels odd to dress this like a beautiful woman in. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's
like a Manic Pixie Dream Girl quality about it that is not fitting for the Doctor.
I suppose.
Like if you had put Jodie, if you put her in Eleven's eggplant attire, beautiful, excellent choice.
Yeah, I do. Here's the thing. I really like the outfit, and I do, and I think I like it for much of the same reason that you dislike it, because there is something about, there's something definitely about it that feels like little boy's clothes. But there's also part of it where up until now, the Doctor has been a boy's role. And so there's a part of it where she's very literally putting on a boy thing.
I guess, because like even the cut of the pant, beautiful. Yes, it's this wide, it's a wider leg. Like, love that. We love a high-waisted moment as well. I am not ever one to discriminate towards a high-waisted pant. And it could also be that I'm comparing the one woman against all of these men.
Yeah.
And it feels unfair to do so. And for me to be like, I don't like this outfit. Because she is literally a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yep. I will say that I don't like the look without the jacket. I pretty much only like the look with the jacket. And I think it's just something about,
this jacket also has a hood, yeah?
It does have a hood, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a hooded jacket. I like the lilac color. That's not super common. I like the, I mean, I, there's a part of it that wishes it was a more fun color as the interim. The blue, I mean, I get the blue goes with everything else, but I do kind of wish that that was more like a red or a purple.
For the jacket?
Yeah, for the inside lining of the jacket.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would have been a good place to like bring in a little more color.
We have now such a history with the Doctor having these interesting, vibrant linings that it does feel odd to put her in this jacket that is not lined in something more exciting.
Yeah, for sure. She also had some frequent fashion friends. Her look itself didn't change a whole lot over the course of her tenure, but she did enjoy a pair of protective, I said sunglasses, protective goggles that she wore when she was doing work, specifically working under the TARDIS. She also had a rainbow scarf for colder expeditions.
It could also just be the specific materials that they're picking for Jodi.
Okay, in what way?
Everything that she's wearing feels synthetic. And it, even down now to the scarf, that is a fleece scarf.
I mean, there is a part of it where she got her clothes literally from a Goodwill.
Even still, like, I got this tweed jacket from a Goodwill. You know, like, there's something to be said of, like, it could just be that everything feels very matte.
Yeah.
And nothing really has texture. Because, like, especially since we have a legacy, or, like, if she had whipped out another crocheted or knitted scarf, a la Tom Baker, if she had whipped out that scarf, because you mean to tell me that the Doctor just doesn't have a wardrobe filled with past accessories?
They do at one point reference it, but I'm not going to tell you how. I am curious how you feel about this. I don't think I include it in the slideshow, so I'm going to just pull up a picture of it.
Like, and it could also be my own distaste towards synthetic material, particularly fleece in that capacity.
Yeah.
I fucking hate fleece. But
I will say that there was
like this scarf feels like something that you got from a Walmart.
Yeah, I could see that. There is a part of it's also like, I do like that 13 is very easy to cosplay.
Like, I guess
I didn't include it in the slideshow, so I'm going to show it to you here on my phone. They did give Jodi another t-shirt that's basically the same, but instead of blue, it's like a magenta color.
Okay, it's a lower cut.
Yeah, I do like that look better because it just brings in more to the mix.
I like the, yeah. I like the purple.
Yeah, I will say I'm quite fond of the look. But I definitely see where you're coming from, too. I definitely see that this,
like, I'm curious as to what she is wearing in this other slide you've chosen, showcasing her little steampunk goggles, because it looks like a button-up shirt and a vest.
If memory serves correctly, that is the remains of Capaldi's outfit.
Awesome.
That's why you like it so much. Is
yes.
Because it's Capaldi.
I like a shirt and a vest.
Let's look at 13's TARDIS. I also understand this being a little divisive because it's very different as well. Featuring a pretty radical redesign, this TARDIS has a more crystalline aesthetic.
This one looks like the set of a Cirque du Soleil show. And it could be the structures being illuminated from within.
Yeah, I told you earlier that I think of the TARDIS as being a midpoint between nature, magic, and technology.
I see what you mean now.
Yeah, this one 100% feels like that.
This is, it's giving Doctor Strange. Specifically, yeah. The little, like, corner that they built in Avengers Acampus.
Yeah, I can see that, especially with
I need you to pause. I said Avengers Acampus.
Avengers Acampus.
Yeah.
Hippocampus. The Avengers Hippocampus.
Acampus.
Acampus.
Yeah, it's one word, dude. It's not a campus.
I know. That's why I said
Avengers Acampus. Anyways.
I could definitely see that being the thought you have, especially with all the hexagons.
Yeah.
Because I seem to remember hexagons also being a common shape in... Hexagons were the shape for, like, when the Guardians travel between galaxies.
It's also giving concert stage.
Yeah, there's something very performance about it. This TARDIS also doesn't feel like it has more going on behind the center console. Like, there's no stairs anywhere. It really doesn't feel like there's a room anywhere.
No.
But as a singular console room design,
like the console itself.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I love the console itself. I love the crystal pillars. They're just so big and imposing that it makes it gives the TARDIS a totally different feel than it's ever had before.
I don't like them coming inward. It does feel a little fingery.
I like to touch them.
I like
the TARDIS is reaching out to pet to
rusty
pet you.
Rusty spoons on my TARDIS.
But it is nice that it's so heavily orange, especially contrasted with the blues of,
like, 13. I hate Matt Smith's second one. I kind of hate that the most so far. This one I can live with. I don't like it a lot, but I can live with it.
I'm a fan of it, but there are definitely parts of it where, like, I'm a fan of it, but if that makes sense.
You're a fan of its butt.
It feels weird in this one. I don't miss there not being a hallway off to the side. And I think it's just because there's so much going on in here that I don't think about it when I'm watching it like I do with.
It could also be just the specific image you've chosen is this wider shot.
Yeah, that was the promotional shot they took.
Because up close, it's like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's like a TARDIS cave. Magic fairy cave. Cave science.
I mean, this of all the TARDISes, this one is the most that feels like one is grown. Specifically, it feels like it's grown in a cave.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's got
it's
stalagmites and stalactites.
It's very science museum in a way that none of the others have been.
I definitely see that.
Which is fitting for the Doctor.
And then the 13th Doctor also has a handmade Sonic.
That's a dildo.
Yeah.
That's it. Moving on. That's an illuminated from within dildo. Do I need to say more? Remember the special store I was talking about before? I'm throwing decency out the window. That thing, shimmy shakes. That has four different settings.
Yeah.
That can be put in different holes.
And speaking of rusty spoons, the 13th Doctor made it by melting down steel spoons.
I'm done.
You are not the first person to say
that one is waterproof and water resistant.
Yeah, you were not the first person to say it looks like a dildo. I might have even said it when the 13th Doctor came out myself. Especially remembering Curse of Fatal Death.
It's the specificity of the light part of it coming out of this very phallic little shape.
This little orifice it has at the front.
Like, it looks like it's a living thing. I hate it so much.
Really? You hate it?
Because none of it makes sense. Right. And it could just be that I am now.
It is interesting that you didn't like the first ones because they felt so manufactured. And this is the one that is the least manufactured. This one is made with scrap metal.
But it's not. This is so clearly 3D printed.
Well, this is a toy. This is a toy. This is a toy version of the show prop.
Still, like, even if this is a model of the prop, mm-hmm. there is still an element about it where it's like, this doesn't look like something that would be made in a workshop.
Yeah.
If for no other reason than I could recognize and like understand the like melty down quality.
Yeah. Like you saw the picture earlier of her in the goggles. That's a little bit more what it looked like in the show. I shouldn't say more. That is what it looked like in the show, just without the light on.
It could just also be the fact that the light is like emerging out of this orifice.
Yeah.
Jody. Jody. Like, I hate being a woman hater, but
you hate already being one of those Doctor Who fans.
Oh my god. Stop it. I just don't like her Walmart scarf or her dildo sonic screwdriver.
But her look and TARDIS and Sonic did not really change over the course of her tenure. So let's move on to the 14th Doctor, once again played by David Tennant.
Okay, I was a little confused. I was like, I thought I knew all of them. I knew that he came back for the specials.
Yes.
I didn't know that you were counting him as a 14th Doctor.
It was a question whether or not he was the 14th Doctor. But it was confirmed by Russell T. Davies that he is the 14th Doctor. So while the first one was played by David Tennant, this one is played by David 14ant. But even though the actor comes back, this incarnation sports a different look. He sports a navy blue trench coat over a white dress shirt, gray knitted tie, and a brown and turquoise checkered plaid waistcoat with matching trousers. He did bring back his Converse shoes, though.
Okay, good.
Here's some better looks of it. I don't really like the promotional photos they took of it, but it's the most like complete look you're going to get.
Yeah.
I like the more natural lighting for sure. I don't like that he only buttons the top button.
Oh my god! I hate the top button.
I hate it so much.
Anytime that there is a fashion bro, fashionista, fashionista, that are like, oh, just button one button. No.
Nope.
No, no, nope, no, nope, no, nope, no, nope. No.
Especially not for this 7-button waistcoat. Absolutely not.
There are 7 buttons there. Each one of those motherfuckers should be done. Maybe you can leave the top one undone.
Or the bottom one undone.
Or the bottom, sure. You can leave one, but the middle ones should certainly be undone.
Sorry, 6 buttons. I miscounted, but still.
Because, like, for me, and this might come off as a little fatphobic, but, like, doing the one button just makes you look so rotund in a way that is
It's unflattering.
It's very unflattering.
Yeah, it makes it look like your clothes don't fit.
Yes.
That's really what you mean. It's not that it makes you look fat. It makes you look like you're wearing clothes that are too small for you.
Yes, and especially somebody like David Tennant, who is made out of straws.
Yeah.
I know that vest fits.
Yeah, they did. It is interesting that they gave him different glasses too. Like the ones that you pointed out before were very square.
These are modern. These are rounded. Cool.
And I think it's because David Tennant, this iteration had this stubble that Tennant didn't. The 10th Doctor didn't. And so because of that, he does have a squarer feel to him. And so it makes sense that they give him the rounded glasses.
Yeah, this one's more refined.
And this is the more natural lighting of it. It's fine. I think this look is fine. I like that it's evocative of his previous form without being.
It's an echo. It's an updated echo.
Yeah.
If his fucking vest would just button up the rest of itself. I just want one image. I would rather the vest be unbuttoned.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the tie. It looks like a sock.
Yeah. I was excited when you said knitted tie because I was like, ooh, texture. Yeah. And now I see it and I go, oh, it just wants to be a skinny scarf.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of wish that if he had buttoned the vest up, I kind of like it above the button.
Yeah. If you just cover the bottom half and you just have the top half, cute.
Yeah. It's when you get to the bottom and you see like how square the tie is.
And you see the shirt billowing out of the pants.
Yeah.
Because it's not even like the pants are high waisted.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, cool. Like you do have like something else going on down there. I love a high waisted pant. Give him Jody's pants.
Give him Jody's pants.
Yeah.
Funny thing. I'll probably repeat this when we actually get to the episode. When 13 regenerates into 14. The clothes change too. David Tennant does not wear Jodie Whittaker's outfit.
Lame.
The reason for that was they didn't want it to become a joke that David Tennant was wearing quote unquote women's clothing. They didn't want it to be like weirdly transphobic or something, which I get, especially in the UK. It's a much more likely thing to come up. But yeah, it is funny that you want to give him Jodie's pants when even the showrunners were like, you don't get Jodie's pants.
He would look better. Honestly, if they had just had him shape change, regenerate into exactly what Jodie Whittaker was wearing, I'd still hate it on him, too. I just don't like the outfit.
Yeah.
But at least then it'd be like, okay. I think I like how put together Jodie's is as opposed to the one it's just the one button.
Yeah.
One button is all it takes.
Yeah, I do. I don't like the color of his coat, either the blue coat. I like the texture to it. Like, I love this like fabric that it's made out of.
Like a tweed.
Yeah, this like tweed jacket. I kind of wish it was something again. I kind of wish it was purple.
Oh, no, actually, it might be wool. Like a wool blend. I would have to be holding it in my hands, but alas, we are neither in the UK or in the BBC warehouse. I cannot do that.
Yeah. They also do his hair a little bit, again, kind of reminiscent, but different, where it's still spiked up forward, but now it's way more
modern.
Yeah, it's a more modern thing. But they do give him a new screwdriver. Even though he only lasts for the 60th anniversary specials.
Is this a toy, too?
I think this is a recreation.
Okay.
I don't think it's the prop, but it's better than a toy. You can even see him holding it in this last picture here.
Oh, yeah.
They all feel downhill after Matt Smith's. I don't know.
This one looks less like a pleasure rod.
You're not wrong. It does look less like that. This does look, and it looks a little closer to the spark pluggy, like I pulled this out of a car engine design that 9 and 10 had.
Yeah.
But it's still just, I don't know, something about it.
It feels extraneous. Like, yeah. I think that's been that's my issue with Jody's, is that this it feels like there are too many bits.
Yeah.
It's too chunky.
Like this one, this for some reason, also has these four feels wings.
Too chunky.
Yeah. I feel like if you just took those four wings off, it'd be great.
It would be fine.
Yeah. It could still be a little fat around the handle, but it's just, you know, I don't know. It feels like it's too much and not enough at the same time.
Yeah. I don't mind this like crackle.
It's almost like porcelain look. It's yeah, got around
like
the
that's
handle.
Kind of like enchanting and beautiful.
Yeah. Now we move on hell to our yeah, to brother. Our current doctor and Chudy
Hell Gala. Yeah, brother. They put him in high-waisted pants because they know.
The 15th Doctor is once again an incarnation with truly no set look to him.
That's fine.
Though I think his most frequent piece is this burnt orange double-breasted leather trench
hell
coat.
Hell yeah, we love a red jacket.
With pockets and belted cuffs. He also has a fondness for zip-up polo cardigans.
Fuck yeah.
I had never seen a zip-up polo cardigan before he was wearing them.
I'm buying one now.
But this doctor has a bunch of looks, including three other coats. You saw the burnt orange leather one here.
God, I really like putting him in these like warmer,
yeah,
like orangey tones.
But he's got a plaid print overcoat, a purple corduroy jacket, and a yellow duffel coat are what we've seen so far.
He looks like Paddington.
Keep in mind, as you see these pictures, this man has had one season.
I love him already. This might be my favorite doctor.
He has had one season and two Christmas specials. That
and
is
Judy
all.
Might be my favorite doctor, and we haven't even met him yet.
Yes. And Shigatwa is one thing. He's a fantastic actor, but he does not wear the same thing twice. Let me come back to those. So as you can see here, he's got a wide variety. He's got a wide variety of looks. We will also once again probably have to play the game of let's critique the doctor's
That's
look at
fine.
Every episode.
Let him play in the space.
But in this case, he also brings back something about the first doctor, which is that he is a fanboy of humans. Up. And likes to dress according to the time period that he's in. So these are from two episodes in particular. One,
I'm having a moment.
The first look you're seeing here is from an episode where they go to Abbey Road and meet the Beatles.
Hell yeah.
The other one you're seeing here is a play on Bridgerton without going too far into it.
Excellent. Also, love putting him in this cream and burgundy.
I did specifically have to get the look of him in his
I'm clocking it.
you're clocking in Shooty Gatwa's Booty Gatwa.
Actually, yes, of course I am.
I put it in specifically because I went holy shit caked for days.
The man's blessed. It's better than all of us.
He's carrying the weight of the world in those pants.
Yes.
Yeah, but this man is just drip for days. This man looks bad in nothing. And even if he did, they don't put him anywhere near bad clothes.
No. He also does seem, because like the yellow puffer Paddington jacket is a little silly. He don't make it silly. It takes a very like specific amount of like charisma and like confidence to pull off shit that looks really dumb.
That would look really stupid on some people. Yes.
Yeah.
You could also see that he wears multiple rings at one point. I don't think I grabbed a good picture of it, but at one point he also is in a club and he's wearing just a kilt and a tank top. That's his whole outfit.
Excellent.
So we will have to do it up like every episode will just be like, let's talk about the doctor's outfit this time.
I am okay. That can be a new bit.
Now let's talk about his TARDIS. It is technically the 14th Doctor's TARDIS first, but it's much like how the 8th Doctor's TARDIS was also technically the 7th Doctor's TARDIS. It just feels like it belongs to 15, and the set is fucking huge.
Yeah. This one feels expansive.
Yeah. 14 also only existed for three specials. Meanwhile, 15 will get to use this for multiple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, it returns to a more classic era design with the like almost white clinical look to it.
Oh, he's wearing little Converse.
He is wearing a little Converse. I don't know if you could tell in this on our TV here. He's not wearing pants.
I was going to say.
I'm not going to spoil much for you as to why that is.
Because I also really love that this one features a jukebox.
Yes, that was a specific addition. So when it was, that's also why it feels like the 15th Doctor's TARDIS. When the 14th Doctor piloted it, he had no jukebox. But as soon as the 15th Doctor got it, jukebox.
Amazing.
There's some classic era vibes to it with this like white metallic design to it. But the roundels can now change color to give the TARDIS a different feel.
Very inside out coded.
Yeah, I do think that. I do love the like curvy pathways that run along the sides.
Yeah, it's it does kind of feel like somebody built a TARDIS in one of those like roller coaster tycoon theme park.
It feels like, yeah, I was just about to say
sandbox games.
It feels like somebody made a Doctor Who themed attraction at Disney World. And they were like, oh, we need a queue. And so they built this and then they went, oh, we canceled that. Well, I've already built the queue. And so they were like, well, now it's the TARDIS.
Yeah.
I really like this. I'm a fan of it. They don't do a lot in it, which is a little disappointing.
Yet.
Yeah. So far, they haven't done a lot in it so far. But I do like it. I kind of hope they do more playing with the colors of the roundels. I think they clearly could do a lot with it, so I hope they do. That's the long and short of that. I hate his screwdriver, though.
It feels very Spy Kids.
Yeah, eschewing previous design choices, the 15th Doctor screwdriver is more evocative of a TV remote than a screwdriver.
I kind of like it.
I hate it.
I kind of like it. It's stupid.
Yeah, I understand that.
I like this way more. You know what? Although, I don't know. See, I like this better than Whitaker's, but now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, at least that one has a lot of like, that one has concept.
Yeah.
Like conceptually, it's
like someone designed that. So
this I'm looking at and it is very reminiscent of toys from the 90s.
Yes.
Which there is a part of me that's like, and Cootie is also very like, feels very reminiscent of days gone by in the sense that like, I don't feel like, well, no, I take that back. There it is. He has a very retro quality about him, not vintage, like more retro. So this Sonic toy feels more retro in that sense. I use the word toy specifically. This does not look like something that I would. It doesn't even look like a Swiss Army knife, because I could see them wanting to change it up and be like, we're going to make this like a multi-tool. Somebody advertised that to me as a multi-tool. I laugh in their face and then I throw it in the street.
Yeah, this looks like a quirky universal remote for
I
a TV.
I see. It looks exactly like the remote from Click. I throw that in the street and see how indestructible it actually is.
Yeah, I mean, I do like that it's got this sort of like fold out thing to it. Like, I don't show a picture of it folding here, but you could see how like the smaller part rotates to be the base of the bigger part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah, like,
but it doesn't feel like a Sonic screwdriver.
It feels like a Sonic toy.
Yeah, it feels like a toy.
This feels like something I would get out of a Happy Meal.
Yeah. It feels like a toy you'd get with a kid's meal at Sonic.
Yeah, this feels like a whole different type of toy you get from a whole different type of store.
Yeah, just if you send enough cereal box tops, you'll get a Sonic remote.
It looks like
it
should just kind of light up. It looks like a reward from a magazine sale.
Yeah, this is like of all the screwdrivers.
This looks like a voice recorder.
Yeah, of all the screwdrivers we've seen, and obviously they make toys of all of them, at least the modern ones. This is the one that feels most like it was designed to be a toy.
Yes.
And I think that's why I dislike it so much.
It's very how He-Man of them.
Yeah, it feels like it was, oh, how do we sell more toys? And someone went, more buttons?
I hate it. Yeah. You know, I think I've decided this might be my least favorite.
Yeah, I
can't even sit here and hate it like unironic or like it unironically.
Yeah, it also doesn't look like it even fits well in a hand.
No, it feels slippery.
Yeah, it is.
It feels like I would drop it.
Of all the things about Inshootigatwa's run that I love, his screwdriver is not one of them.
No, you can't call that a screwdriver. They can't even say that that's like one of those, I call them lady multi-tools, because it's like a hammer, but then you unscrew the top and it's like, oh, a big Phillips head, and then you screw it again. It's, oh, a little baby screw Phillips. If it looked like that, it'd be like, that's a little lame, but okay. This looks like it do nothing.
Yeah, I don't even know.
This looks like it's very good at breaking.
In a bit of fairness, I actually don't know if they ever call it a screwdriver. I think he might just call it his Sonic. But still, I just don't like it. There's a part of me that feels like, of all the things to not.
It looks like an Eggman creation.
Of all the things not to give a very queer doctor like Inshootigatwa, why would you not give him the one that looks like a dildo?
Like if you swapped the two. You gave this one to Whitaker, like, an interesting choice. Okay. But then you gave Whitaker's to Inshooti, it'd be like, interesting choice. Continue.
Yeah, especially because a lot of this design goes with Jodie's. Like, there's still that very, like, blue coloring.
Because if we're going with the theme of, like, this looks very toy-like, and there is something about how... there is something about Jodie's outfits that do seem very youthful. Mm-hmm. And like very, I am electing to use the word ditzy, but I don't mean it in like the dumb way. Mm-hmm. It's ditzy in the like other way.
But like ditzy in like a flighty way,
not a stupid way. Thank you.
Yeah.
Whereas like her sonic screwdriver looks like it has heft to it, as it should, because it lasts for 50 minutes before you have to plug it in for 5 hours.
I'm just remembering in The Curse of Fatal Death when the doctor becomes a woman in that sketch too, and she goes, oh, it's got three settings, and it's like vibrating. It's the exact same thing happened.
Yeah, I hate this. I can comfortably very much say this might be my least favorite thing I've seen today.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. It bothers me. We come to the end of our slideshow here. Do you have any final thoughts about all the doctors? Like, not just
put the doctor in more purple, damn it! My God!
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. The 11's purple look was like 90% of the reason. I was like, man, I want her to see that in real time. I want him to show up and
hey,
her go.
Hey, the good news for you, I'm gonna forget about that.
We got a whole season and a half before we get to it.
I'm going to forget about it. It's going to be a minute till we get there.
You know, fair enough.
You know what else I'm going to forget about?
What was that?
The one button. Just, I'll be angry about it all over again.
Are you going to forget about Capaldi and all his outfits?
Oh, most certainly, yes. I will be elated every time he walks out in something new. Because I know how my fish brain works.
Yeah, I for the most part, I don't really dislike many of the doctor's outfits. I think all of them are really good in their own way. If I was going to personally pick a favorite, I do love Eleven's look quite a lot. I also love Inshooti's orange trench coat. I think that's a beautiful look. All of Three's velvet smoking jackets.
Yeah.
Love those. You've said you're a fan of Colin Baker's.
I think I will stand by Colin Baker's, both the like normal brown jacket with the multicolor scarf. I really like the burgundy. I like the all burgundy.
All burgundy four.
Yeah. I love that.
I am suddenly realizing I wish I had called that blue coat six. Colin and the TARDIS color dream coat.
Yeah, that's a missed opportunity, fam. Or like in execution, I love Six's coat the most, mm-hmm. just because I know the amount of work and care that went into making that.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate there's something about the doctor wearing clothes that seem very carefully selected. Mm-hmm. I'm also, that might be why I'm such a hater for Whitaker's stuff, is it's like none of this seems very care. It feels carefully selected, but not in the same way that Eleven's like purple attire was, or Six's rainbow dream coat.
Yeah. That makes total sense. I totally get that.
Or it could just be the simplicity of the outfit. It's a t-shirt with suspenders and pants.
Yeah.
And I really don't like just a t-shirt with suspenders and pants, because that, to me, we're on this journey now together. Here we go. It could be the specificity of, to me, a high-waisted pant, boots, and a t-shirt is very indicative of I am going to work. That is what I have worn to work.
You don't like Jodie Whittaker's outfit because she dresses like you.
Yes! I want to dress more like Capaldi, damn it! So it very well could be that it's just me hating on it because it is a look that I see all the time. Even though the jacket is good.
Mm-hmm.
The jacket also look a little bit like a robe, but
I will say when you see it moving, it's very clear that the fabric is very high quality. Okay. So it
could also just be the frustration of like, I don't love lighter jackets. Usually I prefer any outfit to have a darker jacket. That could be my own distaste towards lighter colors. Mm-hmm. I don't mind a white shirt, but if white shirt with a brown suit coat, fantastic. You know, even the like yellow like turtlenecky shirt with the like tweed plaid like jacket and matching pants look like wondrous, fantastic choices. Put that man in more warm tones. God, you showed me the Sonic again.
I also am really happy with Intruti getting back to something that we really just haven't seen in decades, which is the Doctor dressing for the period.
Yeah.
It's because it opens a lot of like,
well, because he's also got a chameleon face.
A little bit. Yeah, I could see that. Like he, as long as you shape his hair appropriately, he can kind of fit in any setting. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely
which
get that.
Which is such a fun thing to play with Afro hair, is that you can shape it and have it also match and blend in with the different environments.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where the 15th Doctor goes with his next season, because I've only seen the one. I've shown you a good deal of his looks already. But again, I showed you all these looks and all he's had is one season and two holiday specials. That's it. And he's already got, I think, as many looks as any other Doctor, except maybe Capaldi.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to that, and I look forward to getting to this part of the show with you, because I think you're going to like it.
Yeah.
But let's go over what the Zaki Prefaki was today.
Yeah.
I got another one of 2 points, though. In the spirit of you, I do feel like I could make a pretty strong argument for the other point.
I'll be the judge of that.
Let me pull up my exact phrasing here. I said that upon seeing all of 12's looks, you will refer to him as an icon. You never used the word icon.
No.
But you did use, I think, every word that is a synonym for icon.
You'd have to give specific example, because I very seldom use the term icon.
Yeah, I thought you were going to use it more as he's an icon, like as a almost like a hashtag. I will say that's the one where I didn't get the point. The other one where I did get the point, you said, without any prompting whatsoever, Cassie will point out that the 13th Doctor screwdriver looks like a vibrator.
That's not fair, though. because I already knew what it looked like, and somebody else had pointed that out to me.
Yes, you still said it. And I also didn't know that had happened to you, so.
Yeah.
So, but still.
And, of course, I have been leaning into how every vibrator look like a dildo.
How every vibrator look like a dildo?
In here? Yeah.
Every screwdriver. Every screwdriver.
You know what I mean, dipshit.
Well, I'm just clarifying because I was a little confused there for a second.
Yeah, but every sonic screwdriver looks like a vibrator.
A little bit.
And so, every vibrator look like a dildo.
Yeah, except for 15s, which is why you don't like it.
I think so.
Is it just, it doesn't look like it's for his or her pleasure.
It looks like it's for no one's pleasure. It looks like a bar soap.
I've got one little question here.
What?
Which is that does seeing these other outfits make you more or less excited for us to see these other doctors?
Cautiously excited, because okay. I know that the doctors look one way, but looks does not compensate for writing.
That's fair. That's a very fair point.
Especially since you and other people have said that this is your favorite, like we're on your favorite season.
Mm-hmm.
And how I'm already on, like, on the rocks with everything that we've seen, and how I don't know why I continue coming back.
Because I make you.
Because you pay me nothing.
That's true.
I get nothing.
Sorry, I don't pay you at all for this.
No, you don't.
But you can pay us on our Patreon.
Oh, zip it.
I feel weird doing those ad spots, but yeah, they keep the lights on. Anyway,
no, they don't.
well, they do technically pay for our RSS feed subscription.
There you go.
They keep the pod posted. Well, we'll find out how you feel about the show as it keeps going. If I were to guess, I do think you're going to like the next season, because the next season is way more about River Song.
Okay.
And we're going to come up to that pretty soon. We got one little more pit stop before we get to that season proper. But you will find out about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who are you wearing? Who are you wearing, doctor? It's not a good Joan Rivers. I'm not good at it.
No, that was supposed to be Joan Rivers. I thought you were talking to a dog.
Okay, so I clearly can't do Joan Rivers.
Tem Gunn? Could I do Tem Gunn?
No, I... Fuck, look, the only impression I can do is Winnie the Pooh, and he doesn't even wear pants, so that doesn't suit this episode at all. Look, even if you don't like my impressions, I do really hope you liked this episode. We had a ton of fun making it. If you did, be sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening now, and please give us a like or 5 stars or whatever the algorithm craves these days to help us get discovered by other Whovians. If you'd like to support us more directly, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where if you pledge as little as $1 a month, you can get episodes of this show a whole week early. And you can join other great patrons like Andrew Blewett and David Gansel to get your name said in the outro, like I just did there. Next week, we're going to actually finish Dreamland, because my mini-sode idea clearly did not pan out. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.